Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things automation and testing related. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com. In today's episode, we'll be speaking with the friendly tester, Richard Bradshaw, about can automation do actual testing? But first, let's hear it for our awesome sponsor, Sauce Labs. Today's episode is sponsored by Sauce Labs. Sauce Labs makes test automation awesome. Sauce's cloud-based Selenium Grid helps developers test web and mobile apps across more than 400 browser and OS platforms. Sauce also supports Appium and popular JavaScript unit testing frameworks and integrates with all the top programming languages, test frameworks, and CI systems. With built-in video recording, debugging tools, and secure tunneling for firewall testing, Sauce helps you ship better software faster. Sign up at saucelabs.com with promo code TESTTALKS14 and get 20 hours of automated testing for free. I'm currently reading the book, The Glass Cage, Automation and Us by Nicholas Carr. And he talks about in the introduction how in 2004 in the book, The New Division of Labor, some economists were talking about how there were practical limits to the ability of software programs to actually replace human talents. And they really focused on the task that involves sensory perception, pattern recognition, and conceptual knowledge. One of the examples they used was the example of driving a car on the open road, how it required all kinds of instantaneous interpretation of the weather, visual signals, the ability to adapt seamlessly to shifting and often unanticipated situations. And their conclusion was that driving will never be replaced by software because it involves too many factors and it's hard to imagine a set of rules that can replicate a driver's behavior. So that was in 2004, and now most of you now have probably heard about Google Cars. And based on the news I've heard about Google Cars, it seems to be very, very successful. So I was thinking, does this also apply to testing? And if it doesn't apply to testing yet, will it eventually? Can automation do actual testing? In this episode, the friendly tester is going to help you discover a mind shift that will help you improve your testing efforts and take your automation to the next level. So can automation do testing? I say, as of now, no, but never say never. Check it out. Hey, Richard, welcome to Test Talks.
Hey, Joe, thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. So before we get started, could you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
So my name's Richard Bradshaw. I've been a tester since nearly 8 years now. Very active in the community. I also go under the alias of The Friendly Tester and I blog at The Friendly Tester. And I'm really passionate about testing, but also, you know, for your podcast in particular, about using automation effectively.
Today, I'd like to talk about the talk that you gave recently at Test Bash and what I've seen on YouTube about automation and testing. I guess my question, main question is, what is your definition of what is test automation?
Well, if we're going to go straight into it, I don't like using the word test automation at all. But if I was going to give it a definition, I follow the same lines as rapid software testing. So it would be software or hardware that supports testing. Simple as that.
Now, in some of your talks on YouTube, you describe it as automation and testing. And actually, for some reason, when you phrase it that way, it creates almost like a mind shift. Can you explain that a little more, what you mean by automation and testing?
Yeah, so I agree with you as well. I do believe it creates a mind shift. So when people hear test automation, when I hear test automation and people I've spoken to, they seem to think an automated test. Whereas when I shifted it to automation and testing, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to put the emphasis back on testing and how automation can be used in the space of testing. So the difference is mainly being that I don't want to move people away, but I want people to consider other ways that automation can be used. And I think a change of these words will allow people to view automation a little differently. And also the people who are unaware of automation, they're not immediately going to jump to automated tests or automated testing. They're going to think, how does automation work within testing?
Can automation do testing is the main question, I guess.
I don't think so, but it can do what the context-driven community call checking. So, you know, and checking is a huge part of testing. So for me, automation is really good at checking. But it can also be really useful in terms of helping a tester test. So, you know, creating tools that are going to simplify the tester's doing, or might do a small part of the test that they've designed, but not do the whole end-to-end scenario. So for me, I don't believe automation can test, only because it can't learn. And I see learning as a big part of testing. So you do a test, you learn something, it's going to influence your next test. Automation can't do that.
You actually described it, I think, as you're just doing checking. It's not really testing when you're doing automation.
Well, no, when you're doing one instance of automation, so one instance would be automated checking, which is what most people, I believe, mean, what most people are talking about when they say the words test automation. They believe it's some kind of end-to-end scenario that's going to do something on your application and then validate some values. And we call that checking.
Where do you think people get this idea wrong then about what automation really does? Is it something that testers need to educate managers with better? Or is it just a mindset that someone just says maybe doesn't know the testing craft enough to know the difference?
I believe so. I think a lot of people get it wrong because, you know, I think it is still shifting that way, but there's been a shift to people, you know, thinking that we can automate all of testing. And I think a lot of it is what you've just described. People don't understand what testing is. They see it as this anyone can do it process where you're just checking, you know, you'll do something on the website and check that it meets the specification. And, you know, though that is exactly what's described as checking, and we can automate that, but people don't understand the real value of proper testing. Exploring an application and finding new things and using the knowledge you've just generated to do new testing, people don't see it that way. There's a lot of organizations who still see it very much as just taking a spec and making sure the application behaves as the spec, which is obviously really boring. People think that is what testing is, and, you know, unfortunately it's not.
So can we come up with some sort of simple example to try to illustrate the difference between testing and checking with automation? Say you had a Google search. Would automation just be you do a search in Google and you verify the first result back is what you search for, and that would be considered checking?
So the definition of a check is it's like making evaluations on an algorithmic based, like an algorithm. So, you know, you could say that if you're going to do a Google search and I type the word the friendly tester in, then my blog should be the first result. And then that will be the fixed scenario after that. So if we kept running that and it was always the same, you know, that is an instance of a check, as in I type in the friendly tester, I click search, the first result is the friendly tester, that stays. Whereas let's say if the friendly tester came back as the second result, then obviously this check would fail because it can't try and comprehend why it's no longer number one. So there's no, it can't learn, it's either there or it isn't. And then whereas if we were testing that ourselves, we could use automation to fill in the search criteria, but then we'll manually check the results ourselves. That's how automation could help us in that scenario.
How about with the company that maybe uses continuous integration and continuous builds, where they do rely on automation tests to run after each build and make sure that things are working okay? Would you feel more comfortable having actual human eyes on that application before it was actually shipped?
Well, it massively depends on what that application is. If that application is simple enough to have checking as the only form of testing that they're going to do, then, you know, it will be good enough. But I think most applications, relying on just automation isn't enough. But also, I think there's a huge gap that people miss in that, you know, in my opinion, you can't create an automated check without doing some testing in the first place. So if you're creating it, you have to explore the application to know what the check is you're going to create. So there still is some testing going on. I just don't think people are always aware that that's happening.
What are your views on behavior-driven development? For example, if a team is working on a story and they're creating some scenarios and they're just talking scenarios out and they're writing it out on paper, would you consider that part testing? And then when they actually automate those given when thens, that would be the checking piece, the automation piece?
I have a bit of a gripe with people's views on BDD, but for me, it's exactly what you described. If you're doing true BDD, as I'm not a student of BDD, I've not really delved in too much, but for the people I've spoken to, you know, there's a lot of testing that goes on when we're trying to describe these behaviors. So right at the early stage, before we've written any code, the testers are in the room because we have skill sets that enable us to critique these ideas. Once we've highlighted these ideas and everyone's happy with the behavior and we document the behavior, then yeah, I would say what we're going to create after that is a check, because we're saying if you do X, Y, and Z, then the result is A. And therefore it's a predefined, it's an algorithm, and it's gonna check those results. But the important thing there is a lot of testing would have already taken place.
Awesome. So basically the testing is the thinking piece, I guess, is what we want to emphasize. It's the piece where that can't be automated because it involves actual human thought. And that's the dividing line, I guess, between what is testing and what is checking.
Definitely, because the automation can't learn. It has no mind. It's mindless. It only knows what you teach it. So someone has to teach it, and therefore that person has to think. And they're going to think to various degrees, obviously. But the end result is something they've decided is good enough, and they've decided to make it explicit and write it as a check.
I guess going back to BDD, the good thing about the testing piece of it, when you're actually just talking about the scenarios, is you're finding bugs before even writing any lines of code. You're finding issues. You're actually doing the thinking with the group to find all different alternatives of how a real user would interact with your application. And I think that's the key there, is where automation does a predefined set every time. A real user doesn't. So even if you had a lot of automated tests that are covering your application, most likely they're not going to uncover any new issues.
Yeah, well, for me, the automated checks for me, when I explain them to people, for me, they detect change. They don't know, they don't understand the context of the change. They're just basically going to say, my algorithm's been broken, so something's changed, because I used to work and I no longer work. So therefore, someone then has to take over and try and understand what the change is. So in that instance, yeah, they're not going to release any new information for you. You're not going to discover something new about your application, but you might highlight the fact that something has changed, which then you as a skilled tester or any role within the team then needs to explore to find out what that change actually means.
Besides checking, how can automation help testing rather than be what most people consider actual testing? Can it assist us with testing in other ways other than checking?
Oh, definitely. There is probably endless ways of automating how automation can help. So one of the things that I think I'm going to be passionate about and start pushing a lot more is there was a huge push for testers to learn how to code. And a lot of testers did, and a lot of new testers are learning. But what we need to do is we've now got testers with all these coding skills, but they're just spending all their time writing or maintaining automated checks. And there's so many other tools they could be creating that helps the testers really test their software. So, you know, we've got simple things like most people have probably used an application that's got some kind of logging in it. And we've had extensive logging in the past, and I might test for an hour and I only want those log files for that hour. But I have to download all the log files and then manually start piecing them together to get my hours worth of testing. You know, and we can automate that. We can write a very simple tool that just goes and pulls down all the log files, merges them together, finds your time window, and saves it in a file for you. Very simple use of automation. James Back gave me a great example recently of what he was calling monitoring. But we could monitor a log file for something like a null pointer exception, let's say. And every time it got a null pointer exception, it would alert us so that we were then aware that, you know, there's just been an error generated. Again, great use of automation. Data is a really big place where automation can help people. Most applications are very data heavy, and setting up the data can be time consuming. Whereas if we can automate that in some way so that, you know, we can focus on the tests we want to run, then, you know, we can speed ourselves up by writing automation to take care of that data. So it's just more thinking, it's knowing what you want to test and how you can write something that really supports your testing efforts.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely agree with this point that people, I think automation is sometimes utilized the wrong way, so it's overused, but then it's not used enough because it's not used in the places where it really can help. For example, I've used this example before, and in my previous job, I worked for an insurance company. So they would have to have a policy with, you know, a bunch of cars, a bunch of farms, a bunch of animals, in order to rate it in all the different states within the country. And so the biggest issue was being able to get the policy in such a place where a human can go rate it and then check the rating. So I just created a simple automation script that just actually does data input to get it to the point where an actual user can go and then do the rating manually and be able to test that way. So it was a big time saver because it was used to populate the data needed for the actual test, but it didn't do the actual testing.
Exactly. If you like, you know, a simple way for people to view it was removing the evaluation out of it. So, you know, you're just using it to get you so far. And I think one of the problems is, you know, people believe automation can replace testers, where we really need to start thinking of how it can support us. And the supporting can be the tools we've just spoken about. It could be automating all the checking. But either way, we need to think of it as a supporting role to what the tester is actually doing. which is testing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And actually, this mindset seems to be getting even worse for some reason. I hear a lot more managers, a lot more teams saying they have to have 80% automation. And I guess when we talk about automation, do you lump unit testing in with that? Because I would think unit testing would be 100% automated. That's not the type of automated testing that we're talking about, correct?
I tend not to talk about it myself, but I would still consider them to be automated. You know, I would still put them in the checking bracket. But I think, you know, I think that's definitely a developer's domain. Obviously, it's good to have an interest in it, but it's not something I've ever really studied or, really dive deep into. But I would still consider them in the checking bracket, but they add a lot of value as well for what a developer is trying to do. But again, I would put them in what I described earlier as they're just detecting change. You know, it might be a change that a developer's not aware of, or it might be they're expecting them to, you know, that they're expecting these unit tests to fail. But I still think we should be aware, but it's not something I would advise. I wouldn't go to a developer and tell them that their unit tests are rubbish or anything like that, because I don't have the skill set to do that.
You know, in your talk, you talk about different pieces of an automation framework. So are there certain pieces you think every automation framework should have?
I think it really depends. So, like, my examples have tended to be around, you know, the UI level, but I think the principles are the same. Like, for me, there needs to be a piece that controls data. It's very hard to have an automated check that doesn't involve some form of data. You know, you need to put the system in a certain state. So I think that is definitely a piece that should be separated out, and that, you know, it's self-maintained. It's maintained on its own, and then it can be consumed by other parts of your automation. And then again, that allows you to do what we mentioned earlier. So if you had a project that just solely created and maintained data for you, your automated checks can use that. But then you could also build tools around that to help you with your testing day to day. And then what we, you know, in the UI space, you know, page object. But again, they could be used at an API level. You know, at the end of the day, I spoke to Alan Richardson about this a lot. It's basically just abstraction. But, you know, abstracting various pieces out so you can replace them quite quickly, and also it simplifies your whole architecture a lot. But yeah, data thing, you know, page objects, abstraction around, it could be an API interface, it could be a page. And then the final one I would say is some kind of driver factory. So, you know, again, it could be, if it's the web, you know, you're thinking Firefox, Chrome, IE. But even if it was an API, it might be that you're going to use the REST Assured client. You might write your own API client. But either way, whatever's going to drive your data to the web or to the API, those three areas for me are key. If you write one big long script, you know, that just does all these things, you're going to repeat yourself, you know, hundreds of times, and maintenance is going to become awful. Those three pieces, are, for me, would be the minimum.
It's funny that you mentioned Alan Richardson, because as you were speaking, I actually was reminded of what Alan Richardson said in episode 4 of Test Talks, where he talks about how he doesn't like to call it an automation framework. He likes to call it more of a libraries, which can be used within automation, but also can be used for other things. Like you said, maybe you can reuse a piece of it maybe to parse some files, but you can also use it within your automation framework to parse your test or something like that. So almost like layers on top of layers.
Definitely. I the terminology I use is something that Dorothy Graham spoke to me about, and I like to call it an automation architecture, but then I can build many tools or frameworks from it. So, you know, I can create endless tools, but underlying is my architecture, and it's exactly the same principle as what Alan's describing, it's just different words.
I want to change gears a little bit with this question. It just popped in my head. So what would your view be of the perfect tester, the day in a perfect tester's life almost of? How would they go about testing in a perfect day to you?
Where I'm working now, I try and get, as people call it, shifting left, but I try and get involved as early on as I possibly can. I want to be in the room when people are discussing what they think they're going to create, or, you know, we want to create this new system. And I want to be there and find out why. You know, from a testing point of view, it's really useful to understand why it is we're building something and not just be told that this is what we're building. So I'd like to be in that room to hear about what it is we're going to be building, the things that we're currently building. You know, I want to be sat next to the developers so I can gather lots of information from them. For me as well, when we talk about automation, so where I've been last couple of contracts I've had, I've been getting the developers to write what we would call, you know, automated checks, UI level checks or API level checks. I'm working very closely with the developers up front to highlight what checks it is we are going to create, and then it's part of their deliverable to create them. So again, working really closely with the developers, the business, and then from a testing point of view, just critically thinking about what it is I want to test. So spending some time to really think about my testing, what I'm going to do, how automation can help me, are the checks that we've highlighted good enough, and then, you know, just going about my testing and then highlighting where I might need to create a tool, or I might need to, or I might not need to create any tool. I might even not need any automation at all. But I'm guessing what I'm getting at is being aware of what's going on and how we can harness, we can take different people to support us from the whole of the business, but really know why it is we're testing something. Because it's very easy to test something against the spec and go, it fits the spec. But it's very hard to gather relevant information to give to the people who matter to say, this is what your product does, if you're not in the room at the start and knowing why you're building this thing in the first place. So I'm guessing, in summary, being really close with the whole team, working really closely, getting the developers aware of some of the, you know, automation we're going to create, making them aware of what it is I might test. You know, testability is a very popular word that crops up with automation. So they can help me do my testing, you know, by making it easier for me to interact with the application in various different levels. But the perfect day, just working with people, working with the team closely at all levels of the team.
Awesome. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I especially want to highlight the point of working with developers to make their code automatable so that they bake in automation or hooks into their application so it can help you do testing at some point later on down the road if you really need to hook into the application.
Oh, yeah. Testability is like, it's one of the key things that people get wrong in automation. When people start complaining about having flaky automation and this application's too hard to automate, you know, the sit down with a developer and you can iron a lot of these things out really easily. The very obvious one is, you know, I've done a lot with WebDriver, but people, you know, finding an element by like some really long XPath or finding another element first and then looking up on that element. And it's like, just go and speak to the developer and ask him to put an ID on it for you. And it makes your life so much easier. But yeah, you need to speak to the developers. You need to make them aware of what you want to do. And also, as I said, moving forward, I very much see developers taking control of writing these automated checks, but with the guidance of the tester up front.
Awesome. Yeah, I also, once again, I agree with you. I spoke with Alan Page a few weeks ago, and I was just shocked about how Microsoft has shift left now. And I just can't imagine a company that big making such a shift left that way. And it sounds like the developers are actually doing what you're proposing. So it seems like a new trend going on in the testing industry.
Oh, they're such a great resource. You know, they're building the application, but at the end of the day, they're building software. And when we create automation, we're creating software. If we need some certain tools, those are the people who will help us create it. I said a very similar thing in my TestBash talk at the weekend. Michael Bolton told me something James Back said a long time ago about a developer's like having a friend with a pickup truck. And it's, you know, it is exactly true. If you think of something you want to create, but you don't know how to do it, they're going to know how to do it. Go and ask them, get their help. You're all in it together at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Is there anything you see over and over in your experience that you think most people doing testing or automation are doing wrong?
You know, I still think there is still a heavy reliance on the UI. You know, people still view, you know, why would I have automated checks at various levels when I could just do one on the UI that touches all the points anyway? You know, you see that a lot. And the problem is you're going to get a lot of failures because UI might be perfectly fine, but the API is giving back some bad data. And also, you know, the UI is slower than all the other levels. So definitely people focusing on the UI. But it's obvious why as well. It's the easiest level to automate for people who don't have much coding skills. You know, there's a lot of tools that exist that, you know, you don't even need any coding skills to interact with the UI. And I think that's one of the mistakes that a lot of people make.
Absolutely. I say if you could do a test without using a UI, I would go with that test.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. You know, even myself, you know, I've been using the UI for a long time now, but even, you know, the tools at the lower levels now, APIs, even the JavaScript level, you know, they've come on leaps and bounds in the last few years. And they're a lot faster as well. And, you know, it's probably back to what we were saying earlier, you know, it's not the whole, people always thought, you know, the testers are clicking on the UI. So if we automate the UI, we're automating what the testers are doing. Obviously, that's missing the whole point of the, you know, the thinking that we spoke about. Right. But now we need to be thinking more of, you know, thinking of the system in smaller levels, and then we can really focus really specific checks that are checking really, you know, important things that we actually care about. Whereas when we're doing the UI, we're trying to cover so much in one big, in one big check. It's hard to do.
So do you have any thoughts? I've just been messing around with a new tool called Apply Tools, which does visual validation, which actually I just do like one checkpoint in a UI test, but it's not calling out every single element to check. It's just doing a check and showing you the difference when you run it again if something visually changes. That's going to save me a lot of time, I think, if I use that approach rather than having a, doing UI testing and doing an assertion for every single element on a page. Something like visual validation, I think, a tool like that could help, I think, find UI tests when something does change and you're not explicitly calling it out.
So, you know, I've been working closely with those guys as well. So Dave Hefner introduced me to that tool probably a few months back now. And I've been really skeptical about UI tools, you know, they're, you know, like pixel perfect kind of validation and things like that. I don't really see the value in those because it's this very small change and you spend a lot of time investigating it. However, some of the things I've seen, so I'm going to call it Eyes, but you know their tool's called Eyes. Some of the things I've seen Eyes do, especially I've been particularly interested in the layout option that they have, where you can just visually compare the layout. So you know the words on the screen don't really matter and the images don't matter. It's just comparing the layout, and they are really good. I agree with what you're saying. You can check a lot more without writing all these assertions that you've then got to maintain. But I also like the way that tool works, as in, you know, a human has to go in and say this baseline is good enough, as in, you know, this image is how it should be. And then this visual comparison is great. And you probably will find things that you never thought of checking. And you're probably also going to get a lot of false negatives. But, you know, it's another option now that is progressing. These tools are getting more advanced. And it's definitely worth people considering.
So you just brought an interesting point, and I got a laugh out of this. I was showing a manager this tool, and he's like, so I have to manually go in and look at the image to see if it's right or wrong? And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. So it's just hilarious how they think magic is going to happen when you automate a test and it's going to know what to do. I guess it goes back to they think it's, you know, automation can't do thinking, but somehow people think that it can, so...
It's the hilarious thing we said earlier about people thinking that, you know, these automated checks just come out of nowhere. You know, someone has to write it. Someone has to manually do it and make sure the equation they've just written is the right one. You know, they don't realize that a lot of effort goes into, you know, creating that algorithm to make sure it's right. And people run it several times. I've got a blog post about, you know, who tests the checks. Someone has to test these checks to make sure they run regularly. Do they run when there's being run in parallel? You know, all these things have to take place. And it's not just a simple case of writing it and then it's done. Put it over there on the big pile on the right of all my automation and it will just take care of itself. It just doesn't happen that way.
And it goes back to the classic example also when a manager goes, how come this test didn't catch this automation? It only does what you tell it to check for. So if you don't check for something, it's not going to find it. So you have false confidence if you're just relying on automated tests to do your testing.
Yeah, you could say a check is only as good as the testing that went before it. Because, you know, if the testing before it's poor, you're going to be checking things that aren't of any value, of any importance. You know, I've seen a lot of automated checks, especially on a UI level, that, you know, are just checking really simple things like that, the fact that there's a box on the screen. It's like, well, great, but where is the box? Can you type in the box? Is the box editable? You know, it's just checking it's there isn't good enough.
Absolutely. So, Richard, I know you go to a lot of. I see you on Twitter all the time. You go to a lot of conferences, it seems. What kind of skills do you think, new skills that testers should have in the coming years that you think will make them better testers that you've been hearing about from maybe other people or in any conferences you've been going to?
I think a lot of, you know, the critical thinking skills and techniques that people need to be honing a little bit more. You know, I'm still very young to the testing community, and I'm still trying to get to grip with these new types of techniques. But heuristics are a really good thing that people keep mentioning a lot, and something I'm really trying to get to grips with. Again, you know, things that help you prompt your thinking, you know, the human element of that. So really thinking about, you know, how you decide if there is a problem here, or how you know what to test and what not to test, or how you design a test. People focusing on that. But also, I want people, for me, I think people need to start thinking again back to automation, you know, really thinking of ways that automation can support their testing, not replace them, really, you know, support them. And I think a lot of that is down to theory. You know, we have a lot of people learning specific tools or learning languages, but I really see that as the easy bit. If I understand what is automatable and what should be automated and what shouldn't be automated, then I'm a step ahead of most people. I can learn the language, I can learn the tools very quickly. But if I'm not aware of what should be and shouldn't be automated, then it's going to be tough for me, because you see people turn up and, you know, the only tool they might know is WebDriver. So they do everything from the UI because it's the only tool they know. For me, I want it to go the other way. I want us to know what we should and shouldn't be automating and find tools that support us. So becoming aware of that, I think it's going to be really important. But I just want people to really study the craft of testing and really focus on, you know, the skills and the hard work that it takes to be a really good tester. And then just think about how automation can support us.
Awesome. For some reason, I think, though, that somehow some managers value automation more because they can see a physical output and say, look at all the work my team has done. Where with testing, a lot of times you're catching things earlier in the process that you may not be documenting per se. So you're kind of missing out on the spotlight being shown on all the value you're adding. Is there anything you think testers can do more to help show what kind of value they're actually adding to the process?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of important things in that. Again, it might be a myth or something that I might be making this up, but I think I've definitely observed this in that a lot of people, when they're doing testing or exploratory testing, let's say, you know, they don't document anything. They just go, oh, I'm just going to spend the next 3 hours doing some exploratory testing. And, you know, it's going to make you look like you're amateurish. You're just having a play on the system. You know, a lot of thought goes into exploratory testing, and we need to, you know, show your thought process up front. How did you decide what to test? What resources did you collate to, you know, study the system or understand what it is that the team were trying to implement? Show them how you've, you know, you might use mind maps, or you might create models, or, you know, how the system's going to work. And then the important thing that, you know, I wasn't very good at and I'm still practicing is taking notes. A lot of testers are not very good at taking notes, but that is your evidence. That is showing everyone what you've done. You know, I tested this and it gave me this negative result, and that made me think about this other part of the system. So I then thought about this test, and all that turned out to be okay. And then I went down this route. You know, they call it your testing story. So, you know, being able to tell your testing story is a skill that people really need to develop. And one other important thing is that telling your story to the people who matter, importantly, but also telling them what you didn't test. A lot of people don't do that. They don't explain that, I tested all this, great, but I didn't test this. Do you want me to look at that? Is that something of importance to you? And, you know, build those relationships with your, you know, your product owners or your business analyst, whoever it is, you know, whoever the person who matters to you is. Start showing them, you know, your process, so, you know, they value what you do and they get an appreciation of all the work that goes into being a really good tester.
Awesome. I think that actually be a good title for a conference session, being able to tell your testing story. I think that that's a good point that you bring up, definitely.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of sessions on, you know, note-taking specifically, you know, particularly, because, you know, there's so many ways to do it and everyone's going to have their own techniques, and there isn't one right way or a wrong way to do it. But, you know, you need to be doing that in order to, you know, show people what you've done. It's the same, you know, when people log a bug and they take a screenshot, you know, it's just collecting evidence.
Absolutely. You seem to be keen on mind mapping. I think I've seen some tweets of you actually showing some images of mind maps you've created, which have been really helpful.
I find it a great tool because, you know, it's a bit less restrictive. So, you know, you can, for me, it kind of shows my thinking in that, you know, I ended up at this node, but then that node expanded out into this, you know, these 10 other nodes, you know, and it kind of, I can kind of follow my thinking using a mind map. But, you know, it's just one of many tools. I'm a huge fan of pen and paper. I've probably said, you know, pen and paper is the best testing tool that people can have, you know, because you've got free reign, you can draw whatever you want. But, you know, there's lots of tools out there. But, you know, whatever it's, again, it's back to knowing that you should be taking these notes and finding a tool that works for you.
Right. So speaking about these tools, are there any resources or books you would recommend to someone that would help them learn more about testing and automation?
I'm really new to reading. I never really read at school. I was very much the kid who was like the MVP. I'd read the chapters that I knew the questions would be about. But recently I've been getting into trying to read a bit more. But Lessons Learned in Software Testing, I found that really good book. And that's Ken Kainer and James Backer, amongst many other people. Perfect Software by Jerry Weinberg, that's a really fascinating book to read about testing. And also what we mentioned earlier about managers' view of what testing is. That's a great book to read. In terms of other tools, Explore It by Elizabeth Hendrickson's got some great examples in there of how she records her test charters and things like that. But then just join the community. I'm a big advocate of the community. We've got such, it's one of our greatest assets over some of the other areas of software development I see. We've got a really active community. There is so many blogs and resources out there. The Software Testing Club and the Ministry of Testing have got a great list of resources. A startup in India called Test Insane. They've got loads of mind maps of really, really high quality, full of links to various resources. So, you know, just get involved with the community and ask around. And like Twitter's a great place to do that. You know, just asking for help, use various hashtags. And, you know, people will point you in the right direction.
Before we go, is there one piece of actionable advice you can give us to improve our test automation efforts? And let us know the best way to find or contact you.
My one big piece of advice for people, for me, is we need to educate the people we work with about testing. And that can be, you know, that could be how automation is used. But if we're not sharing with the people we work with our views of testing, our views of automation, people are always going to ask us for things that we're not comfortable with. And that's fair enough because they don't know. So we need to start sharing with them how we believe testing should be done. And really trying to educate the rest of the business on the value that we can add. A lot of testing is, you know, very much right at the end. They're not involved until, you know, here, test this and tell me it's okay. And, you know, we need to start educating that, you know, it's really difficult to do. And really pushing the value of testing on the business and your team, your members of your team. So I tweet at Friendly Tester, and my blog is thefriendlytester.co.uk. Yeah, Twitter's probably the easiest way. Yeah, just I'm tweeting a lot.
Awesome.
I love Twitter. It's a great medium for just, you know, building a big network of people, and it just allows you to push people, you know, like pass people on to other people and share the knowledge and the context that you have. And at the end of the day, you can always take things offline if you want to, you know, dig deeper or get more personal or things like that.
Yeah, it's so true. It seems like it'd be such a restrictive medium, but I have my best luck reaching out to people using Twitter rather than any other kind of social media site. So I definitely agree.
At the end of the day, you know, there's most of, well, not most, but, you know, there's a lot of influential people on Twitter. There's a lot of testers on Twitter. So, you know, and there's nothing stopping you from just firing a question at them. They might not reply, fair enough. But, you know, the majority of people will reply, and their reply might be really valuable to you. Their reply might be email me or contact me on Skype. Or their reply might be, actually, you should go and speak to Joe about that. He's going to be able to really help you. And, you know, again, it's just that network that we have, and we need to harness it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Richard, for your automation and testing awesomeness. For links to everything of value that we talked about in this episode, head on over to testtalks.com/47. And while you're there, make sure to click on the More Info link under the Exclusive Sponsors section to learn about all the awesome products and services that Sauce Labs has to offer. And if you have a second, why not leave a review in iTunes? Click on the iTunes button on testtalks.com. That'll take you directly to where you can leave a 5-star rating of Test Talks or actually leave a review. Reviews go a long way in terms of exposure. They help in the rankings of the show and helping new people to come along and see that this show is worthwhile. So that's it for this episode of Test Talks. I'm Joe, and my mission is to help you succeed with automation awesomeness. As always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.